Oil prices have fallen to about $108 a barrel. That's much lower than the $140 a barrel oil we've seen this summer, but still very high. And that has producers cashing in some unlikely places, like Tennessee. Tennessee produces less oil in a year than Texas produces in a single day. Still, in an area a couple of hours east of Nashville, oil producers are returning to wells that were shut down decades ago. And that's where we're heading today, on The Money Map. It's our occasional series on how global economic forces shape local economies. And we turn to Blake Farmer of member station WPLN. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
So, Blake, is there oil in these wells? I mean, they're not dry?
Right. They're old wells, but they're not dry at all. They've just been low producing over time. For instance, I met this guy, Bill Goodwin. He owns about 180 wells on roughly 50,000 acres in an area called the Cumberland Plateau. His company's called K10. So he's been out tracking down wells that he bought, you know, years and years ago, but he's never seen, and he knows that there's some oil left.
The theory is if we drill them a little bit deeper, more oil will roll into the wellbore and we'll get more oil out of them. You know, when oil was $10 a barrel, we knew we could do that, but why spend the money and time? Now it's worth doing.
So this oil man, Bill Goodwin, how much money is he making these days?
Well, it's not your Exxon Mobil. You know, he's got a couple $1 million in revenue each year, and some of these wells, they're yielding just about a barrel a day, but he says it's still worth the cost. But it's caused a bit of a problem, all these folks who are going back to these old wells. Let me show you how. I stuck my microphone in one of the storage tanks at K10. So this is the sound of 150 barrels of oil. So this is one of dozens of storage tanks that K10 Oil has, and most of them right now are pretty full. They've got something like 6,000 barrels of oil on hand, which is a lot for a company that is relatively small in the scheme of things. You know, it's more than $500,000 worth of oil, and it's all because they can't get rid of it.
We're talking to Blake Farmer in Tennessee about reviving old wells there. And when you say they can't get rid of it, it seems like they sort of can't miss. If they're pumping the oil, why can't they get rid of it?
Well, you know, we're coming off years of near record low production, at least in Tennessee. So low in production that the nearest refinery in Somerset, Kentucky, it went belly up last summer. You know, which means that these guys have to sit on their oil a little bit longer because trucks have got to come down 4 hours each way from the West Virginia-Kentucky line now. They can only pick up about 200 barrels at a time. So these oil producers in Tennessee are having to sit on their hands while they wait for somebody to come take their oil. Here's Chuck Murchison. He's the chief of operations at K10 Oil.
We're laughing right now in Tennessee that everybody's talking about oil. Everybody's talking about gasoline. And with oil and natural gas, we probably got the most demanded product in the world, and we can't get rid of it. We can't sell it.
Yeah, and he can laugh about it because they know that infrastructure will come if they continue producing on this kind of scale.
But also, Blake, as you said, these guys aren't producing on a mass scale.
Yeah, and they realize that. You know, Tennessee might produce 300,000 barrels of oil this year. Well, Texas, the largest producing state, does nearly three times that in a single day. You know, but these guys, they do have some convictions about domestic oil production. And we here in the U.S., we use quite a bit, something like 20 million barrels a day, according to the Department of Energy. And Chuck Murchison, he says he really feels like he's making a dent in that 20 million barrels.
You know, this is not a thimbleful for a day of driving automobiles, the gasoline you got, the oil here. But nonetheless, it still is oil we're getting here.
And right now, this business model makes sense for K10. Chuck Murchison says the real price of oil, he thinks somewhere around $70 a barrel. And at that price, you know, perhaps cranking up these old wells may not be worth the time it takes and the money. But right now, they're really just riding out the wave.
Blake, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that was reporter Blake Farmer of member station WPLN in Nashville, Tennessee. To see how some of the other local economies across the country are faring, you can visit our money map at npr.org. And turning back to a story we're following today, Gustav did not lead to a spike in oil prices, since damage from the storm appears not as bad as feared. Oil prices actually dropped by $4 a barrel, closing at $111 yesterday. NPR's Carrie Kahn reports.
Nearly all gas and oil production in the Gulf has been shut down, and dozens of refineries are closed or operating at reduced levels. That's essentially knocked 15% of the nation's refining capacity offline. But industry officials say they were prepared for worse and are feeling lucky.
We are breathing a sigh of relief.
Shell Oil Company's spokesman Sean Wiggins says officials hope to assess damage to offshore facilities as soon as they can safely fly their fixed-wing aircraft.
We're in a holding pattern right now until we get that all clear, and then once we do that, we're ready to get back on the horse and get riding again.
If all is well, industry officials say it would only be a matter of days before production is back to normal and insist they have sufficient gasoline reserves in the region. But Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal says 85% of gas stations in the southern part of the state are empty, and he's asked the government to open up the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
It's day to day. I'm Alex Chadwick. The U.S. Gulf Coast is home to more than one-third of the nation's oil refining capacity. Hurricane Gustav is bound to affect the country's oil and gas supplies in some ways. That could mean higher prices, but so far, it really has not. Marketplace's Janet Babin is here. Janet, a lot of the oil production has stopped, right?
Yes, that's right, Alex. The U.S. Minerals Management Service said yesterday that almost all oil production, 96%, had been shut down. There are about 300 oil rig platforms in the Gulf Coast. Only about 700 of them are manned. Many of them have been evacuated. Back in 2005, Katrina and Hurricane Rita took out more than 100 oil platforms, but experts say major upgrades have happened since then, and much of the infrastructure is stronger today than it was 3 years ago. Barbara Shook talked to me about this from Houston today. She's with the Energy Intelligence Group.
A lot of those facilities have been reinforced significantly. The companies have gone back through and added reinforcement to make them sturdier, able to withstand stronger storms.
Also, Alex, Gustav is a weaker storm than both Rita and Katrina were. So Shook is thinking that this storm hopefully won't cause as much catastrophic damage.
But then there are some refining stations further inland across Louisiana and Texas. How are they expected to hold up?
Well, many of the big names that we think of when we think of our gasoline do have refineries in an area that could be affected by this storm. Shell, Exxon, Marathon, Conoco, Citgo. At last count, 9 refineries in the region had shut down. 10 had slowed production. The big fear here is severe flooding, according to the experts. They say it could take out electricity and cause trouble even for the refineries that have their own generators. And once you shut down a refinery, it takes about a week or so to get it back online. So the refineries have already been affected, and we're likely to see some of these companies importing oil. The problem there is that about 60% of our oil imports have already been affected by the storm because the Louisiana offshore oil port has been closed.
Still, what you saw early today was not a kind of spike in prices, a big jump in prices, which is what I'd been expecting. You saw something else.
That's right, Alex. The U.S. markets are closed for the holiday, but in the European markets, U.S. crude prices fell more than $4. I spoke to Jorge Piñon about why this is happening. He's an energy fellow with the Center for Hemispheric Policy at the University of Miami.
I believe that the markets are realizing that the industry is much better prepared to handle this type of catastrophe. We will see a true reaction if we have had a major impact. We will see a true reaction to prices here in the next 48 hours.
So it looks like it could still affect prices, Alex.
Janet Babin of Public Radio's Daily Business Show Marketplace. Janet, thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
From NPR News, this is Day to Day. Just how far has the housing market plunged? So far that even the seemingly invincible Manhattan real estate market is now suffering. The New York Sun reports some apartments in prime Manhattan neighborhoods are selling for less than their purchase prices. Bob Moon of Public Radio's Marketplace program has been looking into this, and he's here now. Bob, so this is pretty unusual, right, that apartments in Manhattan are selling for less than what they were bought?
Yeah, Madeline, it does happen, but it really is rare in Manhattan. The Sun has turned up several examples of prized real estate in some of the wealthiest neighborhoods in the country, selling at a loss. An apartment that sold for $720,000 in January was recently unloaded for $590,000, and a place that sold for $2.1 million went for $50,000 less than it sold just 3 years ago. We spoke a short time ago to a leading New York City real estate appraiser, Jonathan Miller, of the firm Miller Samuel. He says, yes, it can happen even there, and even though just a couple of years ago the market was booming.
One of my pet peeves in characterizing the Manhattan real estate market is this whole concept that it's an island and then it's, you know, like Washington, D.C., insulated from reality. And that's simply not the case. It's just done very well in the last 5 years because of the strength of Wall Street and the weak dollar.
This report today in the New York Sun is based on newly released city records that the newspaper says haven't yet shown up in a lot of sales activity reports that we've seen so far.
But still, Manhattan, New York, it's doing a lot better than places like Southern California, right? Florida.
That's true. The situation, especially in Manhattan, still isn't anywhere near as bad as places that we're seeing a lot of speculation in the housing market. Next to Manhattan, some of the more stable markets have been places like Seattle, Philadelphia and Charlotte, North Carolina. Those had been top performers in an otherwise weak marketplace. Jonathan Miller points out, while those markets are showing some softening now, other places are suffering a lot more.
In markets where you had rampant speculation, like South Florida, Southern California, Phoenix, Las Vegas, that's where you're seeing the hardest correction. Markets like the New York market, specifically Manhattan, probably won't see the volatility in price that you're seeing in other markets, but that doesn't mean that you won't see price declines.
On the other hand, new construction apartments have continued to sell in New York at record high prices.
So, Bob, any sign that the overall market will improve anytime soon?
Not really. Miller thinks it could be another 2 or 3 years maybe before the credit market loosens up. And until that time, he sees a tight housing situation continuing.
Thanks, Bob. That's Bob Moon of Public Radio's Daily Business Show Marketplace.